Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Lines up, drills it, and scores!
Holy!
I don't think that Oue had any idea that Vanek was going to shoot.
And I sure didn't.
Wow!
Oh, I thought he was going to fake the slap shot. Instead, he ripped it.
The Flyers will pick it up and bring it back. Oh, what a hit by Campbell! Holy mackerel! Campbell stepped into his check in the blue line! Miller all chasing after Campbell!
Cross, one-timer scores! Rasmus Dahlin with the overtime winner! That is a delicious finish by the captain, and the Sabres take it 4-3.
Oh, what a save by Miller! Oh, you want to roll a highlight film? Baby, start rolling right now! Paul Mara saying, how did I miss that one? I'll tell you how! How about Ryan Miller?
It is a game day, and it is also early on in 2025 as the NHL has been unveiling quarter-century all-star teams for each of its member teams. And today, the Sabres' first and second quarter-century teams have been unveiled. And you just heard a sample, Marty, of the first team all-stars. It's great to have you with us on Sabres Live. And boy, was it great to hear those calls with those names bringing back those memories.
Yeah, I mean, we can keep rolling that on loop for the next hour, and it'll give us chills, obviously. And look, this is a fun exercise, right? Because it is the quarter century. So from 2000 to, you know, the end of the 2024 year.
First beautiful game of 2000 in Toronto, right?
No, it was here.
Oh,
it was here.
Oh, yeah, the route of the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, absolutely. From that game
yes,
on.
Yes, of course.
I would have made the team, first team All-Star, if it had just been the first day of the new century. But no, it's a great exercise. It's definitely fun to put the names and to kind of debate what you think and where those guys are fitting. And so you have the first team, second team, and we can definitely discuss that with you on social media, because a lot of you guys probably have some opinions on it.
Briere, Pominville, Vanek, Dahlin, Campbell, Miller are your first team stars.
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm going to start with Danny Briere, because I feel like the competitor that he was he'd be coming over to Buffalo and beating us up if we didn't put him on the first team All-Star, because he was always striving to be the best and making everybody else around him want to be better. That it was practice, games. He would get on the ice for the goalie practice so he could shoot and learn what the goalies were doing. He hated to lose in cards and whatever. So, yeah, he was a competitor and obviously over a point a game in his career as a Buffalo Sabres. So that puts him in there. You know, and everybody remembers the great years that Briere was here and the trade that brought him over from Arizona for Chris Gratton. So he's on there. When you think Briere, what do you think of? Because obviously I got to know him really well. He was my roommate. And so I get an inside look to it. But as a fan and as somebody that watched it from the outside in those years, what did you see?
Okay, so that's interesting because, as you know, like my attachment to this team came from my mother being a day one fan. So
we can't put Gilbert Perreault on that list. He didn't play in that quarter century.
Right. In 2006, ironically with Carolina here tonight, game six to extend the series, Briere in overtime.
Yes.
I had the great fortune of being able to take my mom to a number of playoff games that year, and we were there for that one. At that end, fittingly, to see it so vividly, and when you were starting the question, what I think of Danny, it's never been presented to me this way. The first thing that popped into my head was joy. Yep. I feel like Danny Briere brought joy to so many people, whether it was the look on his face, the pure enjoyment that he was having when leading to this team to success, that's what resonates with me all these years later.
And joy, well, if you're going to bring joy to a lot of people, you're going to be considered as a first-team All-Star for not only the on-ice production, but everything else that you bring to the team.
Pominville ends up with two stints with the Sabres, which leads to longevity, in a sense, over the course of the quarter century. So,
most games played as a Sabre in the quarter century. Right,
and the points to match, and I mean, there again,
the person that Palmer was. I mean, the
isn't this important? Like you're thinking about 100%. The person here, and Jason, like the two stints are so different in some ways. But even just thinking of the small window of that 1 week, when again, kind of ironically, he played his 1,000th game in Ottawa, where he had the goal.
Yep.
And then the next game, it's the back end of a home-and-home, and Ottawa's here, and the Sabres win 9-2, but the scoreboard reads 2-9 for Ottawa, 9 for Buffalo, and everybody's like, Pominville! Like, this was his day. And I think that it's just, it's so, you can't make this stuff up. And sometimes it just fits, and I think Jason just fit here in Buffalo.
And Jason Pominville embodies the one that had to battle through adversity. Look, he was put on waivers. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the league could have picked Jason Pominville. He was sent down to Rochester, put on waivers, and then called back up because of injuries and never looked back. And had an immediate impact in not just production, but his role. He killed penalties. He was a good power play guy. He played on the shootout. He did so many different things. So, yeah, obviously, Briere and Pominville, both two really good friends of mine, but the impact that they had and the success that they had, both captains of the team, was important. And Thomas Vanek. I mean, I think that was a no-brainer, picking three forwards for the first-team All-Star. You can say, okay, there's other players that were fan favorite, but were they as impactful as Briere, Pominville, and Vanek as individual on and off the ice? And Thomas Vanek, the goal-scoring ability, the creativity, even from the time that he came here as Minnesota Golden Gopher and won a national championship and this building. And he was drafted by the Sabres. And you saw the talent that was going to come on. Vanek was incredible and left a very, very significant mark. So those three forwards were no-brainers for me.
Dahlin, Campbell, and Miller rounding out the first team. Rasmus will join us coming up here on Sabres Live. It's game day, Buffalo hosting Carolina. Note the start time. It's 6 p.m. tonight. It's a national telecast on TNT. The game can be heard right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Mm-hmm. If you've missed the announcement, which came out right at noon from the NHL and from the Sabres and their quarter-century team. We've just documented the first team. Here's a look at the Sabres' second team.
Rebound! Chris Drury! Walsh! Chris Drury has tied it at one with 7.7 seconds to go!
Broken up and taken away now and scooped up to center ice and chasing after it is Eichel. Here's Eichel in over the line, going in on goal, he scores! He's looking for help and he gets checked and the Sabres bring it right back again. Back it comes to Roy with a score! Buffalo 3-0 again on the power play.
Here's Rasmussen leaving it there. Here's McKee with a shot. He scores! Jay McKee
picks up the trailer, slams it home.
He takes a screenshot. That's knocked down. Here's Myers stealing the puck. He scores! Tyler Myers, theft of the century.
Martin Straka will try to beat Hasek here with Buffalo in the lead.
Here's Straka picking up the puck now, walking in on Hasek. Straka to the backhand. Hasek makes the save! Hasek stacks the pads, makes the save, and Buffalo still leads by one.
Well, that is the second team Buffalo Sabres quarter-century squad, and
Now we can have some debate. Now we can have some fun.
Really?
I think there's more debate to be had on the second one.
I would say this. And this sounds kind of ridiculous to say, but I was not expecting to be overcome emotionally as much as I am hearing those RJ calls.
Oh, yeah.
Because I felt like some of those were a little deeper into the archive and weren't the similar plays and calls that we almost always associated. So especially on the Tyler Myers one.
Yeah.
Like, and talk about capturing a moment and just how good everything was going, right? And how that team in 09-10 and was just, you know, finding ways. And man, that was really, really cool. And obviously it was led off by none other than Chris Drury.
Yeah, and obviously Drury, the same impact that he had with, Danny Briere and those teams in 05, 06, 06, 07. Very, very significant in what was the development of a winning team and the President's Trophy. So his impact, Drury was fantastic. Jack Eichel, the talent and the production. And so you have to look at what Jack Eichel did here in Buffalo and with those forwards. But Derek Roy is interesting to me because I was debating, you know, Miro Chetan, and Miro had some great years in the early 2000s, right? Like, until he left for, you know, the New York Islanders. But there was a guy like Chetan in there. There would have been a guy like Maxim Afinagenov. And Max is such a fan favorite. But then I looked at the numbers, and I'm like, well, you know what? Like, Derek Roy had almost 100 more points in the Sabres uniform than Maxim Afinagenov.
Yeah.
So That's significant, 100 points. If it had been 20, it's not the same thing. But almost 100 more points. So I looked at it, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I can see Roy-Z being there, seasons of 80-plus and whatnot. So I'm like, okay, Derek Roy would be on that list.
Did you vote for him?
I put Derek Roy in there, yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Who did you have?
Well, I just want to say this before we, you know, continue along here, and obviously we continue to take more reaction. I just want to say that like for me, and you can learn a little more about this on Sabres.com as well. Like Eichel was my second choice among the forwards. We've presented six here, first team, second team, and no particular order per se. But when I was doing this exercise, and again, I'm very honored to be asked to take part in something like this through the league and the team, Vanek was my first choice. It was without even looking. And you know me, like I like, before I kind of open my mouth, like I really want to fact check.
Yep.
That's kind of my thing. And I was like, well, Van is the first one that comes to mind for me. And Jack was my number two. And I know people are going to be, oh, well, how can you say that in comparison to what Briere and Drury? And it comes down to, if we're talking about a best player in this 25-year window, I think of the buzz that Jack created, Jack's aura created, that draft year created, what he walked into, overcoming injury a couple of times, and I marvel that his skill set was seemingly different. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Like, dominant, like,
but his stride, like everything about him became unique. And for me, as a fan of this franchise from the early years, and yet partly not remembering it fully because I was so young, I think, my gosh, like Perreault was such an incredible skater, right?
And could do
this. And then watching Jack do the things that he did at the high, I was like, this is so impressive, and I'm grateful that we got to watch it.
Yeah, and I can see the argument there because of the talent and the production, and so obviously you have to try to compare players in different times of the franchise, and you know, the early 2000, the last few years, and it becomes difficult. Like putting Jay McKee out there, you're thinking, okay, well, Jay McKee, you know, really only played, you know, six seasons in the start of 2000, like 2000 to 2006. And one of those seasons was wiped out because of a lockout. But the impact that Jay McKee had defensively, the shot blocking. And so to me, that is why, like, a McKee and Tyler Myers being a rookie of the year and the impact that he had. You look at Rasmus Ristolainen. There was a long debate for me internally as Risto played so long and still had some really good numbers offensively and, you know, being put in a tough position of being a top pair defenseman.
Some would argue by every coach, meaning they
kept
playing him minutes more than he probably should have.
Probably should, but he kept on being the guy that just wouldn't say anything and went out there and tried to do his best. That was a debate for me now after Campbell and Dahlin say McKee, Myers, Risto, like, oh, how do you put him in? So ultimately, I tried to look at impact. Jay McKee had a great impact on teams that were successful. Tyler Myers won a Rookie of the Year award.
As a defenseman, which has not been done in Sabre history other than him.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, that is going to stand out more in the quarter century than what Risto did for the team.
Okay, if you just missed it off the top, the quarter century squads from Buffalo's standpoint unveiled today. Briere, Pominville, Vanek, Dahlin, Campbell, Miller, the first team, Drury, Eichel, Derek Roy, McKee, Myers, and Dominic Hasek rounding out the second team. Rasmus, congratulations on quarter century first team for the Buffalo Sabres. I'm going to guess that these are not things you ever think of as a player, but I would imagine you have to feel pretty proud of the accomplishment.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, to be honest. I'm very honored and proud. Nothing if think about ever. You just want to play your best hockey, but I'm very thankful.
When I retired, I thought, I hope one day I make it to the quarter century team for the Sabres. And I didn't get picked. Well, I was one of the people that picked the player, so I didn't want to pick myself. But
I'm going to give you a little story on this process later on.
Just want to make sure. But yeah, no, congratulations. Now, you know, some of the guys on the list, obviously, you look at the defenseman, Jay McKee, I got to play with. He's older. You probably, you know, never get a chance to see him. But Tyler Myers is still in the league. You get to play against him. You know, what do you remember from some of those guys? Or even like Brian Campbell, you probably see some highlights of him, you know, doing spinoramas and how offensive he was, and the fans absolutely loved him.
Yeah, you know, I've seen a little bit. I grew up watching SHL hockey, so I haven't seen enough of it. But yeah, naming really great players in this league, and to even be a part of that is crazy.
Yeah, you like to hit. And Brian Campbell gave a huge hit in the playoffs one year to R.J. Umberger. Like, and I remember he wasn't a physical guy, but when you hit somebody and the fan responds and love it, does it give you, like, that boost of energy? Does it make you want to hit more guys and just crush them after?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. To get the crowd going, it's that's what you want. But also, I don't only want to go out and hit out there, so I have to find a balance between, you know, trying to play offense and defense and also hit sometimes. But there's for sure times in games you have to hit.
I think that's what's really interesting about you being on this quarter century team is you are there on merit because of everything you've done already. But there is still so much more of your career ahead. And I'm curious, like, what do you want to be as a player in this next quarter century here for the Buffalo Sabres?
Yeah, I want to be way better than I am right now. I want to develop in all the areas in the game, and I think I have way more in me. So, I'm going to make sure I work hard here in the future.
Well, you say that, and it's a logical goal, but where do you think you've come from year one to where you're at now and where you still want to get to?
Oh, yeah, that's from year one, that's night and day, I would say. I came in as a kid pretty much and only wanted to score cool goals. But now I'm more of a complete player, and I can play in both ends and stuff like that. So I've developed since I got into the league, for sure.
You talk about developing. Yesterday and the day before, you guys had practices, and Lindy Ruff talked about battle drills and, you know, in tight and two-on-twos and one-on-ones. Do you get competitive with the guys on the ice, which probably is a reason why you're at the level you are? So when you guys do one-on-ones and two-on-twos, do you want to win every single one of them?
Yeah, for sure. That's why you're out there. That's what's the most fun about this sport, is to compete. And we have some guys in the locker room that wants to compete too, so sometimes you get heated. But that's what I love. That's a part of it.
How would you say the leadership component? You're talking about battling here. How has that part evolved? How are you handling how to talk to your teammates when you're going through tough stretches? How do you take it on yourself, whether it's in-game or after games? Like, how do you feel about that evolution?
Yeah, that's a part I want to grow into more. I feel like that's an area I can improve too. So, you know, I learn every day, but I for sure have gotten more comfortable here in the last, whatever, 3-4 months. So, but yeah, I want to get better at that part too.
Has it changed your relationship with the coaches? And maybe relationship is the wrong word, but your form of communication? Like, Don Granato was very open about how often you were in communication, right? And he appreciated greatly how much you were constantly thinking about the next thing and communicating that. What is it like with Lindy and the staff?
Yeah, you need to take bigger responsibility for sure. You have to think about all the areas around the team and how to win games. And, you know, I have to step up way more and express what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling. And then it's a constant communication in between the whole team pretty much, but with the coaching staff too.
So the last couple of games, you guys went 11 forwards and 7 defensemen. Lindy Ruff said the forwards like it because there's more ice time. Did D absolutely, usually in my experience, hated going to 7 because it's a little different, but you know, you had some, you know, guys sick and whatever. So what was that like for you, knowing that, okay, we have 7D, we have to roll, but at the same time, you want to get on the ice as much as possible?
Yeah. The D side always joke about whatever the forward wants, they get, eh? So, but no, that was a great call. It makes sense. The forwards, they feel better when they're on the ice more and touch the puck more. So it was time for us to get a challenge and play our best game with 7Ds. And So I don't know what's coming tonight. We'll see. Yeah.
But it is Carolina tonight, so can you give us an overview? But I almost hate asking this because the default is you're worried about your game. But you are up against a pretty staunch opponent here in Carolina. So take us through the matchup, if you would.
Yeah, we know their work first team. They're one-on-one pretty much all around the areas. They do man-on-man, so and they play a quick transition games, and they get skilled forwards, and their D loves to shoot the puck. So it'll be a tough match for sure, but we're up for it, and we just gotta make sure we win our battles. If we do that, we can create some 2-on-1s and stuff.
6 p.m. Does that change the way you're like? Do you eat an hour earlier, or you're just like, oh, whatever, I'm doing the same thing I do usually?
No, you do everything 1 hour earlier.
1 hour earlier.
So today we got to the rink 1 hour earlier, and so on.
So on, the nap is different and yep. All of it. So I used to hate changes in the time. I was so prepared, like everything was the same thing, and then you have
I'm
to
I'm just
change
laughing your, at how bundled up you are
yeah,
today.
You have like to change your alarms on your phone. You have to change everything. So much so that one time, Henrik Lundqvist showed up an hour late at the rink. He showed up 20 minutes before warm-up because the time has changed and he forgot to change the alarm on
his
phone.
Oh, okay. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was because of his routines.
Yeah, no, he just forgot
to change it. That would have been better. Yeah. That would have been way better.
I'm not coming at 4 o'clock.
No one will say anything because he's the
exactly.
Henrik Lundqvist.
John Tortorella was pacing up and down the locker room like, when is he going to get here? Did anybody talk to him? And he's looking at me like it's my fault. I'm like, I didn't do anything.
Love it. Good luck tonight. Congratulations again on the nod for the quarter century team. And of course, continued success with the foundation.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Rasmus Dahlin in blue and gold. We speak of those jerseys because we have a game-worn home Royal jersey auction ongoing right now. For your chance to grab these one-of-a-kind pieces, go to sabres.com/auction today. We are rolling along on Sabres Live, and the quarter century teams unveiled, first and second quarter century teams for the Sabres. So check that out on our social platforms and sabres.com. We appreciate Rasmus joining us quickly on the game tonight. Just as you know, Raz was talking about the matchup. Like when you see it, Buffalo, Carolina, where both are at right now, what was your first thought coming into the rink here today?
My first thought was, okay, so Sebastian Aho, Svechnikov, like the big guys that you should think, Marty Natchez, like those guys for Carolina. But then you realize, as Rasmus talked about, you know, the way that they play as a team and the way that Carolina has had some ups and downs this year. Like, it's not been, like, smooth sailing. I most thought, hey, in the Metropolitan Division, they're going to be a top team. And you look right now, Washington's up there and New Jersey's up there. And so it hasn't been, you know, smooth sailing, but
well,
they do play a very...
They're 11 games over .500 and have 55 points.
Yeah, it's still really good. And we're most likely to see Dustin Tokarski today.
Yes.
Which, you know, obviously is a bit of a surprise. Like, Tokarski just joined the team a few weeks back, has played and won some games, but it should be Pyotr Kochetkov and Freddie Anderson when it's all said and done. But Tokarski is in there, and we're likely to see him tonight against the Sabres.
4-1 is Tokarski with Carolina this year. He's 2-1-1 lifetime against the Sabres. Carolina has not been good on the road. This is the week before Thanksgiving until now. They have 2 wins in their last 11 games away from home. Only Chicago is worse in that stretch. These are numbers that don't match up with all the nice things people say about Carolina.
No, because they started well on
right.
the road at the start of the season. And then, they, you know, yes, they've had to deal with some injuries and some change in the personnel and the goaltending. But, yeah, you think of Carolina, oh, this is going to be a good road team because they play so good as a team. They roll 4 lines. That's how they are. Well, it hasn't worked that way. But I still believe the foundation of that team, the identity of that team, is they are going to roll 4 lines and they are going to just lean and lean on you. And the Sabres, well, the issues with the Sabres have been play well in the first period and then kind of like it, when the domino starts to fall, it falls and knocks everything over. And Carolina waits to get that domino to fall, and then they take advantage of it.
All right, much more on the Sabres and, of course, around the NHL. Crazy busy last night, so stories emerging from those games, those results, how they impact the standings, and also news today, which is a direct result of Pittsburgh's collapse last night against Seattle. Stay with us on Sabres Live.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. Rolling along here from KeyBank on a game day. It's Sabres and Canes tonight. Again, 6 p.m. start time. TNT with the telecast. It can be heard here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Were you paying attention when we were speaking with Rasmus and I said I had something to tell you about the selections?
Yes, I was.
I voted for you.
You did? Okay. Well, that's... I didn't vote for myself.
Shayna Goldman would call this recency bias, yes, based on the fact that I see you every day. But I think your body of work was obviously much larger than Hasek's,
yes,
in this quarter century, with almost three times as many games played, more than double the wins, and still a very significant impact organizationally. So just so you know, I wanted to share that.
I appreciate
that. And let the
that.
Criticisms come my way from
so,
those that don't agree with
me. Q them. On X, that is like some letters. Q on X, he says, oh, I should have put a hashtag ahead of Miller. Let's remember, it's a quarter century team. So it's from 2000 to 2024. And Dominik Hasek only played 93 games in that time frame. Mm. He only had 51 wins. Like Miller at 264 wins with 540 games in that time frame. Like, that's a big difference. So, no, Hasek didn't belong on the first team All-Star in the quarter century. Now, I still believe that even if he only played 93 games, Dominik Hasek was dominant in 93 games. So that's why I put him as a second team All-Star. But I really appreciate your consideration for my name being thrown into the hat there. You're probably the only one since I didn't make the list, so thank you, Duffer.
Maybe the others who voted will divulge with authenticity to make sure we know the full spectrum of voting here.
But somebody's asking, where's Tim Connelly? Michael's asking, where's Tim Connelly on the list? And that was a very, very tough decision. Mm-hmm. Just like when we asked last week, the week before, our shootout list, yep, starting lineup. Mm-hmm. My first thought is Tim Connelly's got to be in there. And then I look back and I'm like, wait a second. Tim Connelly didn't have a lot of success in shootouts. So I'm like, oh, he had the skills and everything. He was flashy. But even when you look at the point totals, so if you're just looking at point totals, you're like, well, Derek Roy has a lot more points than him. Maxim Afanasyev. Like, you look at some of those numbers. So Tim Connelly, obviously the injuries slowed is probably production, mm-hmm, but you have to consider all that. So I think he was just on the outside looking in that one.
Sabres Canes tonight. Buffalo is looking up in the chase for playoff, mm-hmm, positions. Last night in the NHL, man, some drama for sure. Columbus wins again on home ice. They do so in a shootout. Washington wins again. Boston wins again. They take advantage of a Tampa team that chose to not play Braden Point because he missed a team meeting, so he was healthy scratched. The Islanders, of course, came home. I say, of course. They laid an egg at home. after winning their road trip, going 3-0 out there. The Islanders have been shut out a league-high 6 times this year, tied with Nashville and New Jersey. The Rangers picked up a point but blew the game in Colorado. Philadelphia had a chance to win in Columbus, didn't do it. They lost in the shootout.
Yep.
Pittsburgh was all over Seattle until the third period, and the 2-1 lead disappeared. And now it would appear that Tristan Jarry's tenure in Pittsburgh has disappeared as well. He's got 3 years to go on his contract after this season. He is going to be put on waivers, Marty, at 2 p.m. today, as Pittsburgh somehow blew the game against Seattle, lost 4-2, and have one win in their last 8.
So when the Pittsburgh Penguins decided to re-sign Tristan Jarry, they actually let him walk to free agency. He explored a little bit of free agency, and then they re-signed him, and they gave him that contract. And it was a big question mark. But really, the question and the answer was, who else is out there? Who else are the Pittsburgh Penguins going to get to be able to play at a high level? And the answers were, well, there's not a lot of guys out there, I guess. Maybe when you look internally for Pittsburgh, so they decide to re-sign Tristan Jarry. It was not a good showing last night. It started with Chandler Stephenson's shorthanded goal. It went through him in a weird way.
Second shot of the game. And there's been
Pittsburgh
much talk about it.
Was out shooting Seattle by a ton. And they're up 2-1 after two periods. And the Jamie Oleksiak goal, it was a terrible defensive zone coverage by Pittsburgh. But as the goaltender, you're the last line of defense. You got to come up with a save here and there. Mm-hmm. And Jarry looked like he was off angle, off centered. I don't know what it was, but Oleksiak had a wide open net to put it in. That didn't look good. I feel bad for Tristan Jarry, but we've seen it happen in the National Hockey League. We've seen goaltenders, you know, Cal Peterson, mm-hmm. Not the body of work of Tristan Jarry, but making a lot of money in the minors. Why? Because teams are like, okay, we got to move on and do something else.
Well, but that's the next question, is how do they move on? Like,
well, Blomqvist earlier in the season that played
right.
for him. Nedeljkovic played, and they're in the playoff race. So you're looking at, okay, well, mm-hmm. maybe they're the ones that go after John Gibson now, because Gibson is a Pittsburgh guy and like mm-hmm. native, and maybe that's the logical thing. Is saying, okay, maybe we send, maybe they even send Tristan Jarry to Anaheim to back up, you know, Lucas Dostal, and that's an easy. Make a match, right? Okay, match.com. Boom, there it is. There's a match between two teams.
Are you sponsored now by them?
Nope.
Okay. Jarry, for the record, has an .886 save percentage. Nedeljkovic, also .886. And Blomqvist, when he was up, .904, he went 3-5, but his goals against was higher than each of the other two. That's why I phrased the question to you like, well, what do they do now? Because if they are, and they are, technically, because they're only 4 points behind Columbus, if they're staying in the race, which they have to do based on how the roster is constructed, with still, you know, term for a number of veteran players, like they're not waving a white flag here with Crosby, Malkin, Letang, etc. on their roster. So, yeah, I think you're right here.
Three years at $5.35 million for Jarry and 2 years at $6.4 million for John Gibson.
Seems like a bit of a wash, right?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's $15 million compared to $12 million or so over years. Like, it just – but does Anaheim want to, like
– they'll take a sweetener. But then
that's the
right?
thing. Yeah, I think you need to put a sweetener from Pittsburgh to make that happen.
So it's a fascinating development.
I'm going to start that rumor right now. I'm going to put it on X.
Seattle was so poor coming into here. They somehow rebounded to win the game. Then they were not good.
Nope.
And most certainly didn't get good goaltending the next day against Detroit, and looked like they were headed for another loss last night.
Yeah.
And they pull out
that
game.
They did get good goaltending again.
They did.
From
Joey DeCord was very good, yes, in the wake of what has been a real, again, tough stretch for
Philip. And you talk about the Islanders and the Senators quickly. Levi Marilainen, with the Ottawa Senators.
3-0.
Played really well. Anton Forsberg was the one against the Sabres that got the loss. And played well, but Marilainen has played well. And so,
two shutouts in the three games.
Ottawa is the best team in the NHL through 40 minutes. They have 12 times this year blanked their opponent through 40 minutes.
Wow.
And, you know, so obviously that puts you in a good position. And if the Ottawa Senators can get goaltending by Marilyn and waiting for Ullmark to get healthy again, then they're definitely a team that is going to be in the picture
again,
right there.
Look at the standings. Like, this is unreal how much tighter it got just last night in the Eastern Conference. I mean,
Columbus they are so fun. And obviously yesterday, Zach Werenski with a couple of goals, now is tops in most categories when it comes to defensemen, goals and assists, goals and points, and a couple of goals. And Kirill Marchenko on the shootout, he did what I like to call the Pat Coletta.
Mm-hmm.
So you come in, and they call it the fire poker, where you just kind of give it the little flick of the wrist, and we show it on MSG, but he just, you know, goes a backhand one-hand 5-0. Pat Coletta used to try that in practice all the time. That was the Coletta move. But, yeah, the Flyers had a good game, but Columbus has something going on, especially at home, that are very, very exciting, and they keep winning, and they keeping themselves in the race.
There's only one player in the NHL who's 3-for-3 in shootouts this year. It's Columbus's Kent Johnson, who started the proceedings last night, and then Marchenko delivers after having the game-tying assist on Werenski's second goal of the game in the final 5 minutes of the third period. Marchenko then delivers the fire poker, which was preceded in Columbus Blue Jackets history by Alexander Texier. And
Multiple times.
So it's really cool. Here's one thing that really blew me away about Werenski's home heroics this year. He's riding a 17-game home point streak that has not been done by an NHL defenseman since Ray Bourque in 1993. Folks, this is for Bourque a couple of years before he would star at his own All-Star game at then Fleet Center in Boston. Mm-hmm. It's still 8 years before he would eventually win the Stanley Cup with Colorado. Like, we're going back a long time to see a defenseman have this kind of consistent home impact, like what Werenski is doing right now. And he is all business. It is the speed burst last night that showed the separation when he took it basically on a turnover inside his team's own line and, you know, went through the, you know, the Flyers defense right at that, his own blue line, and then just took off. I mean, it is.
I was wondering if that was when Ray Bourque was still only wearing the number 7, but he's changed in 1988. So that's 5 years after going from 7 to 77.
That's so wild.
But it's wild to think that we have to go back 32 years now for somebody to have done that.
When you consider all the great defensemen we have talked about since then. Yes, so it's amazing. Columbus is in a spot. The Eastern Conference, though,
if Boston had lost last night, then it would be Ottawa and Columbus.
But here's what's interesting. John Cooper, you imagine how he felt having to scratch Braden Point?
Yeah.
But he said the rules are the rules. They've been there in his tenure, obviously, in Tampa, and certainly for most teams across the league. If you miss a team meeting, there are repercussions. They were playing the team directly behind them in the standings that they're in a battle for third place with in the division. And Boston ended up rolling them to a certain extent based on a couple of empty netters, and it turns into a lopsided score. So now you wake up this morning. You didn't play Point last night. You've got 49 points. Boston has 49 points. And this is where it gets super interesting for the teams in the Atlantic, because you're not just chasing the two wildcard spots.
No.
You're chasing the Tampa spot. You're chasing Boston. Columbus is in there, but Ottawa and Montreal and Detroit are right behind. Detroit, of course, it had to come to an end at some point. San Jose got them last night, ended their win streak at 7. So, you know, these are the turning of events last night.
And Montreal, who is 6th in the Atlantic Division, is 3 points away from 3rd in the division.
That's exactly it. Another huge win last night against Utah.
Another huge win. Another unbelievable performance from Lane Hutson with 3 assists. Kirby Dach with a couple of goals. Patrick Laine has 10 goals now. He scored his first even-strength goal, but it's still in the same location where he scored all of his goals from the left circle on a one-timer. I mean, Montreal responding in Utah last night. But, yeah, you look at the teams. You look at the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Ottawa Senators, the Montreal Canadiens. Detroit loses a tough one, because then Detroit would have been right in there in that same conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's the Atlantic Division is like just stacked with teams in the middle there that could be up and down a couple of spots anytime.
We want you to experience Sabres hockey from closer than ever before. You can now enter to win 4 tickets to an upcoming game and a chance to watch pregame warmups from the penalty box. Visit sabres.com/pregame to enter today. We'll wrap Sabres Live after this. Stay with us.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Thanks for all the interaction on social today. Marty's going to answer every single response to the Sabres quarter century first and second teams that were unveiled earlier. And if you missed any of it, check out sabres.com on our social channels. It's game day, though.
I don't know that I will be doing that.
Not everyone. Okay. I assume that with lessened Plowmaster 43 duties today, you might have time to do so. You are a man of the people. That's why I voted for you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I just feel like I can answer on this show for everybody. And just let them know that I appreciate anybody that says I should be on there. I stand by my Miller and Hasek decision.
We had an interesting kind of comment from Darlene when he joined us. Was he wasn't sure about tonight as far as on 11-7. And, you know, you've had guys that have been dealing with illness. And, like, what are you expecting tonight? Roster-wise, because it was optional, right, today. Yeah. So what are you expecting tonight against Carolina?
It was kind of nice to see Jurij Kulik back on the ice, and Andy Ruff says no, not for tonight, and possibly, maybe the weekend, but it's...
And by the way, Pittsburgh here on Friday after all
exactly.
their drama.
And Matthias Samuelsson was on the ice as well, so coming back from sickness. So I think there is some game-time decisions that will be played. How did you feel after practice? How are you going to be? This is a 6 o'clock game. It's an hour difference, but it is a difference. So I would expect the Sabres to go 12-6 in the game just to give it a little bit more rhythm at home. But again, if you have Samuelsson that would draw back in the lineup, and all of a sudden you're like, can he go fully in this game, or do you want to give yourself a little bit of wiggle room? Then maybe you go 11-7 again, just maybe to manage some of those minutes on the back end.
They're 5-3-1 in the last 9. The last game has been stinging for a few days since Saturday against Seattle. Who are you expecting to have a different result tonight than what we've maybe seen of late? Like, who needs to really be able to write their game for the sake of the team game?
It's interesting because I feel like Tate Thompson has shown a lot of offensive capabilities, but I want to see that translate into more production now and through getting to the back of the net with obviously with Cousins, you know, in the middle with Zucker. I have an impact at 5-on-5. I think that's important right there.
Again, we're expecting Tokarski in goal for Carolina from a Sabre standpoint. If it's Lukanen, he's 1-1-1 lifetime against the Canes. We'll see you tomorrow.